basically solved something that I would be willing to pay money for because it was painful. And it was like just free because it wasn't like that big of a deal for his time. And I'm like, wow, what? Wow. I have just been awakened to what good healthcare looks like.
That literally was
just shocking to me.
Our radio guy has been really spotty today, so I really hope that you can hear me okay and that the audio is translated well. It was rough, like doing meetings from my, as the Germans call it, home office, was like almost impossible, and it just kept cutting out, and then they couldn't hear me, and then blah blah blah. But maybe it got better, so we'll see.
Yeah, it's not bad just right now.
There, you look tan. I don't know if it's just the camera. Oh, it's India. You came back from India, right?
Yes, I did do that. I did do India. I got real dark in India.
How was it? Tell us about your trip.
It was, how much can I disclose publicly? It was very interesting. Definitely exhausting, I'd say. We went to, you know, the Golden Temple?
It's yeah.
Yeah, so it's in, like, Amritsar, where we went there first, because that's where, like, Amrik's side of the family's from. But he doesn't have any family there anymore. We were just, like, you know, doing the whole pilgrimage thing. And the line, if you can even call it a line, was, like, a four-hour mosh pit.
Oh, my gosh.
It was maybe the worst day of my life. But then once you got to the temple, it was sick. It was really cool. It's like 20 minutes of temple, 4 hours of living hell nightmare fuel.
Maybe it depends on the time that you go. So when we went, it was like, I don't really remember a mosh pit, but it was very crowded. It was just kind of like, okay, follow a mini crowd towards things.
Oh, wow. Actually, we did find out it was, like, a saint's birthday or something. Like, there's a special holiday. And I was like, well, also, we went at, like, a horrible time. Like, Amrik was like, we should go at, like, literally 4 a.m. And I was like, we're all jet-lagged. Like, as long as we sleep early, we could definitely do, like, pull that off. And my parents were like, no. So we ended up going at, like, noon. So I think it was, like, on a Sunday and on a holiday. The way my family functions when traveling is, like, atrocious.
Wait, so you were all staying in Amritsar in the beginning for how many days?
We stayed at, like, a Thaj hotel for, like...
Oh, shit. Okay, wow.
So my dad gets, like, a stipend. Well, okay, so he gets, like, these really bougie travel things for, like, families. Like the whole company does, and he got one for this year, but I think because of COVID, they like just paid him out. So we use that money to like book all this luxury stuff. But the Thaj Hotel in Amritsar, like compared to how much hotels are here, ridiculously cheap for two hotel rooms. I want to say it was 3 nights. It was $600, that was including everything. That was including like 4 meals, like everything we put on the room, like all our coffees. I don't know, like I think taxis and stuff like that. So like all of that was $600 for like 5 people, which I feel like is crazy cheap.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's it.
Right?
How many days in total were you in India?
15.
And then, okay, so half of that Amritsar, you said?
Oh, no, just like 3 nights.
3 nights.
Like,
okay.
Yeah. Actually, maybe it was only 2 nights, honestly.
No. Was that your first time in North India?
We went when I was like really little. So.
First time as an adult. Conscious time in North India.
Yes. first. I do vaguely remember the Taj Mahal, and I think half of us got food poisoning. So, but like my parents paid for like a tour, and because God damn it, my family, they were like, we have like. Literally, me, my mom, and my dad are, like, about to shit our brains out. I'm like, Mom, I cannot do this walk right. Like, we can't go on this tour right now. I need to go. She's like, we came all the way here. We're doing this. So everyone's, like, keeled over getting a fucking tour of the Taj Mahal. So I very vividly remember that trip.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
yourself at the Taj Mahal.
Yeah, we almost left all of our DNA there.
How was Amrik meeting the rest of your family?
Oh, good. Yeah, they were all trying to get him to speak Telugu, which was cute. He learned a couple things that aren't the ones that you guys know, which are, I'll kill you because that's what my mom says to me. but like oh yes, Bunda, that's another one. Which is along the lines of I'll kill you. It's like I think it translates to soulless body.
Damn.
So, yeah.
It's where it hurts.
Oh yeah. but yeah, no, it was good. I think you know, traveling with family is just like puts a lot of pressures, I think, on already strained dynamics. So it gets real intense at times.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I feel like I need 2 weeks off after going on a trip with my family. Just all the conflicting personalities, strong opinions. It can be a lot.
It feels like a full-time job going on a family vacation.
Yeah, and they're so intense, too. You, like, really don't get a break. You don't really get, like, space to yourself. That's just not a thing.
No.
It's, like, considered an insult if you want space to yourself. It's like, why literally aren't you spending time with people? Like, what do you mean introverted? What is that concept?
Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. I was like, you have literally to talk with everyone and eat with 15 people and, like, talk to, like, every age group. And
at every fucking house.
Yep.
Yeah. I can't even drink the tea. Because of lactose intolerance.
Oh yeah, that part always gets me.
Yeah,
I always feel bad like explaining that, or even just saying in the beginning, because they always feel so like it's almost like an insult to reject somebody's food, and for me to be like, oh no, to this chai that you made with so much effort and spices, and this whole tray of pastries filled with butter, like I'm just gonna say no to that. It's like, but for reasons I might not understand. And then
I actually wanted to ask you how you like go through it, because for me, like, at least I could say I'm gonna like be sick if I eat this, but I feel like if you're like, I'm vegan by choice, they like will really shove it down your throat.
So I will sometimes pull out the sick card if it's, like, really not getting through to them, and eventually be like, okay, it's come to a point where if I really don't have the hormone anymore that will break this down. Yeah,
so
I
might
actually get sick. But actually, my parents have been such soldiers by my side about all this stuff. It's really sweet. Like, they'll, like, prep people before we even come of, like, this is what my daughters eat. This is what they don't eat. Don't give them chai. Give them this. Do you have almond milk? Like, they, like,
give this whole
thing. And then sometimes they'll just, like, start talking about it before I even say anything, just to, like, make sure the people are not, like, wasting their time in the kitchen or anything. So, it's been really sweet. They're just kind of, like, taking care of it for me. But, yeah, because I think they know that I feel a bit, like, awkward or uncomfortable. And they know how to say it with, like, a colloquial way where it doesn't sound mean or rude. So
that's dope. You know, I was like drooling at the mouth watching everyone else like have chai and like all these sweets and stuff like that. I'm like, this is torture.
But have you noticed a difference with dairy in India? Like, does it maybe not affect you as much?
I don't know. I did not, because
my sister's like not lactose intolerant in India.
Wow.
But she is in America. Yeah. That's so wild. She has like 3 cups of chai a day in India and like sweets and stuff. And then, yeah, she can't even have like half a cup of milk here. So maybe you could like dabble a little bit. And,
damn. Yeah. I had no idea. I don't know. I didn't give it a go. But I mean, whatever. At this point, it's kind of nice not drinking the milk. So.
Yeah. There's this, I've been given a lot of alternatives here. People being like, oh, you should try this or try like start small and like increase the dosage or like try lactose free. And I'm just kind of like, I mean, if I really wanted to, like I'll bring it back. I can make it happen. But yeah. At this point, it's like, I don't really, it's been so long. I'm not like sitting there every day being like, oh,
yeah,
I wish I had some cherry. If I was like that, then I would bring it back. But it's just, it's
but you
so
were
long.
Never lactose intolerant, right? Like to begin with?
Right, yeah. But I mean, like Shivani's brother said, everyone's a little lactose intolerant.
No one feels great.
Right.
That's true.
No, it's a really good thing you've been vegan for years. I feel like I can't stay vegan for 1 week. So definitely don't break that if you've got a really good thing going, you know?
Yeah.
But any other highlights of the trip?
Nothing positive. Oh, I was I was extremely relieved. This is also not positive. I was extremely relieved when I got my period because it meant I like didn't have to do anything for like one. Like I think I got like 2 days off. Felt like I literally got 2 days off work or something. But it was just like being like dragged from house to house to house to house where they just force feed you and give you more tea and it's nonstop and it's like so many hours in the cars just like be paraded around. And then my sister was like super pissed that I like got these days off. I'm like, if you will your period, maybe you too can have these days off. I didn't choose.
Time off for
you're frozen.
Oh.
Sorry, what did you say?
It's nice your family gives you some time off for it. I feel like when I've been on vacations and I've gotten it, I just have to, like, I don't feel comfortable to tell them. Like, my dad and my brother, like, I don't want them to know.
Yeah, so it's really funny because, like, usually I think what happens is you get dragged anyways. But, like, this time I was, like, so sick of it and annoyed. I just told everyone, like, and then that's how I got out of it. My dad was like, mom said that you're not coming because you're not feeling well. And then he starts going on this whole spiel about like, we only come here like so often, trying to guilt me. And I was like, I'm on my period. And he was like, So I think I just freaked him out, but I was like, you know what? This was necessary.
It's a nice way to just end the conversation, especially with men. Like if they just go on and on, you're like, period. Like, okay. Like, I can't say anything anymore.
They don't want any part of that.
Literally. And the best part is they have no idea how it actually feels. So you can play it up or down as much as you want.
Like, I'm dying. And you're actually like, it's your best period
totally
ever.
It was. I do actually get pretty bad cramps, but I feel like nothing compared to Shimona's. Like, she's like out of commission.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, my last one was so bad.
No.
So bad. Like, and it was on this like big day at work, like a launch day for this project we were working on. And everyone was there, and it was like the solidarity thing of like, yeah, we're gonna like push the button and launch it and like watch what happens. And then I just like could not stay. I was like, I have to go. I'm sorry. Like, I was really trying to put it together. And especially like, you know, being a woman around like 15 men, you're just kind of like, what do I say in this situation that can like easily slide me out in a way that can, you know, not make things too awkward or not make them feel awkward and not make it like I'm being dramatic, of course, because that's just being a woman. You don't want to be like seen as hysterical, right? So.
Or like weak.
Yeah, exactly. So eventually I just couldn't do it. I had to go back and I couldn't even make it to the train station. I ended up having to go to this like like market hall thing, and I vomited like 3 times.
It was
so bad. And I was like shaking. I could like barely even stand up. I was gonna just like sit on the edge on the ground and just like until I had more energy,
did you go to a doctor? That's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, this happens like 2-3 times a year at most. So then I want, like, there's this word of, like, for people that have really bad period, like endometriosis.
Yeah.
Yes, that one. And a part of me was like, maybe I have a little bit of that, but it's not. It's so like rare that sometimes it feels like it's not worth diagnosing. But then when it does happen, it's like, okay, this is not normal. Like I should not be like, stand up.
You know? I mean, I feel like vomiting in general is like a really bad kind of side effect of that. You should definitely get it checked out. Cause I know a girl in high school who had that. I think it must have been endometriosis. But like every time she got her period, she would like start puking. And I feel like that's pretty like a more rare symptom than like just cramps.
Right. Yeah.
I've never grown up from a period.
Yeah, me neither.
I just worry, you know, right now it's happening to you 2-3 times a year. Like what if it just starts increasing slowly?
Yeah. And then
it becomes everything. Mm. You know, you want to catch it early.
Yeah. You're right.
But holy shit,
I'm just
so
worried.
Bad.
What they're going to like do to me, I don't know, like maybe something that's then going to like make my periods better, but then like I don't know, like kill my sex drive or something like that, where it's like there's some kind of off conclusion.
Well, Germany is way better about like, I don't know if better, but like they under prescribe aggressively, so like
that's true.
So I think that's like a good place to get it checked out, actually, than like, because in the U.S. they would just put you on birth control and not talk about it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of, I had this issue for a while now where like the back very last teeth on the top and bottom left side of my mouth would get like the gums around them would become inflamed if there was like too much food stuck in there. And I mentioned this to like 2 or 3 dentists in the US, and they just kind of like talked in circles and were like, oh, like maybe do this or subscribe for this thing or get this, like, they made it like this much more like deeper issue that I had to keep dealing, like do some kind of treatment frequently. I went to one dentist in Germany, one, and this guy's like looks at what's happening, I describe my symptoms, matter of like 2 minutes, and he's like, you know what, I think I'm going to try doing this thing where he basically like puts this paste, it's like gel, cooling gel on it. I think that's what he did. It was a little bit of like a sharp pain. Never again have I felt that gum inflammation. And it was a one-time thing. It's not like I'm taking some pill and it's having some side effects. He was just like, oh, I see. Okay, done. And then the best part is I like looked at the nurse and I'm like, okay, so like, are you just going to send me the bill? And she's like, oh no, this is free. And I was like, what do you mean it's free? I like took up the dentist's time. And she's like, yeah, no, it's only a few minutes. Like, of course, like, you don't have to pay for that. And I was, like, about to cry. Like, what a beautiful country. Like, he basically solved something that I would be willing to pay money for because it was painful. And it was, like, just free because it wasn't, like, that big of a deal for his time. And I'm like, wow, what? Wow. I have just been awakened to what good healthcare looks like.
Literally.
Shocking to me. Amazing. Yeah,
and you know me, I'm the last person to go to even tell people to go to a doctor. And yeah. If I'm telling you to go to a doctor, like, Europe is good. It's dope.
Mm-hmm. I feel so, like, protected. Like, they're on my side, you know? Like, they're not trying to, like, make money off of me. Because I feel like we grew up with this skepticism of the medical industry in the U.S. So every time a doctor will tell me something, I'm always like, what are you getting out of it? Like, what do you want from me? Like,
what is a grain of salt?
It's to the point where like my parents even have like built that into me. Like when I told my mom like things that my dentist have said, and she's immediately like, no, he's trying to make money. Like, don't, just give it some
time.
The
wisdom
teeth thing. Gonna go away. Yeah, yeah.
I still have mine.
Yeah, yeah. I still have mine because my first summer in Baltimore, I bit down on my lip so hard that I tore a salivary gland, and it created this like huge bump in my mouth. And
oh my God.
I was like dealing with that. It was taking me months to get an appointment with an oral specialist. And even then I was like, this is just from, you know, this is just a canker sore. Like you get them sometimes, like little bumps in your mouth. Like I was just doing everything I could to not see a dentist or not see an oral surgeon. And then finally my mom was like, okay, this has been happening for months. You have to get an appointment with someone near us. So I did. And like all the other dentists I've seen before that had said, like, you need to get your wisdom teeth out soon. You need to get your wisdom teeth out soon. But this person who like repaired my salivary gland, he was like, well, both your wisdom teeth are sitting on top of a nerve. And if you get them removed, you might like lose feeling in the bottom half of your mouth. And I had never been told that before. And I was like, shit, what if I had just listened to like my last dentist and then had that happen to me? Like, we're just told so many conflicting things.
Seriously.
They're not like always with our best interests in mind.
Yeah.
Like immediately solve a problem that they see.
That's so terrifying.
And it's really annoying to me because like there's so many things that like Americans do that like extremely invasive and like permanently alter your body, but like they've normalized it and it can actually just straight up be harmful. Like circumcisions. Why are we cutting off skin on babies on their genitals? Like it just doesn't make any sense to me. And it literally no other country does this. Like European, yeah. I think it's like maybe for religious purposes, other countries might do circumcisions, but like no other country does wisdom teeth. No other country, like your body evolved over millions of years. There's probably a reason that we have wisdom teeth. Probably a reason we have foreskin. Like why are we changing? Was probably not broken.
Yeah, same thing with braces and like America's obsession with having like perfectly straight white teeth. And the things that will like go through for it, it's crazy. Like, have you seen people with veneers or who get their teeth like?
Yeah. Oh my God, it's terrifying.
What is the concept of veneers? Like, they're fake teeth, right? But like, how do you get them inserted?
They file down each individual tooth like to little nubs till there's basically like, there's like a little sliver of tooth left. And then they put like a fake tooth over it. But, like, I think when you get really old, they're, like, more prone to, like, not staying. So, like, you'll just have these, like, freaky teeth when you're old. And they, like, I think they have to redo it every, like, 10 years or something.
Oh, wow. That feels like so much effort.
Yeah. And, like, terrifying looking without the...
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well... yeah. Imagine someone smiling and seeing no teeth.
That's how my grandpa already looks like, but he didn't get veneers. Aww. He just had as a child.
Shivani, have you started working your new job?
Yeah, I started early in October.
Oh, okay. How has that been? Still on board?
Yeah, it's been going really well so far. It's just like a world of a difference from where I last was. And I kind of had these moments where it's almost like snapping out of a dream or something where I'm like, whoa, I'm in just a totally different space now. But yeah,
it's in a good way, right?
Yeah, in a good way.
Okay.
For sure. And the company's really interesting. Like I was telling Chitra, a big part of my job is coordinating like online courses. So teachers will take our online courses on how to teach certain materials in their classrooms. And so we have a course on like the Holocaust. And today I attended a course that's on like equity and justice. So it's all like, it's like the opposite of the people in the South who don't want kids to like learn about race, you know, who are very like anti-CRT. This company is very much like, we have to teach these kids about history so they can think critically about the world. So it's like cool to be at a company that's so mission driven, like
inspiring
me, which is nice.
So you really like it now?
Yeah, I do. It's been really good so far. I mean, it's not perfect. Like people have complained to me about certain things and my team isn't like all sunshine and daffodils all the time, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't think any company can be like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's been good. I highly recommend quitting your job with nothing lined up.
I'm very close.
How's your
job? Your working hours are good?
Yeah, I can choose. I mean, everyone's hours are 9 to 5, but I asked if I could do 8 to 4 just because I like ending early. I'm like used to that after teaching. And it's super like a really strong emphasis on work-life balance. So we work like 35-hour weeks, which is
nice.
Yeah.
And do you work from home?
Yeah, it's fully remote. I work from my home office.
Nice.
That's okay. Awesome.
But I want to hear about your job. So how's it going?
My job? So we just had this launch in, was it the Netherlands? Yeah, I think it was the Netherlands. But so things have been a bit more like less, I don't know, go, 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 which has been nice. Yeah, a bit of a mixture. It's had its ups and downs as well in terms of like learning curve. But overall, definitely in a better, like more knowing state now than in previous months. Of, I just had my monthly feedback and it just kind of felt like, okay, just kind of in the swing of things and keep going. And yeah, nothing too out of the ordinary, I would say. Yeah.
For your first 6 months of a job, I think it was you who heard telling me it takes like 6 months to really get acclimated in a job.
Yes.
Totally.
Oh, did I say that?
I think on our career episode you did.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 4 months so far. So the year will end, as will my 6 months. That's kind of the interesting lineup there. But yeah, I know I can't believe it. I feel like it was just a few weeks ago that I was telling you all like, hey, or I FaceTimed you like randomly. Jither was in a sauna. I don't know where Shivani was. I think you were in your house. And I was like, by the way, moving to Germany. And then here we are 4 months later. And it feels like home in many ways.
That's amazing.
Is that your space behind you?
Yes, it's a temporary, I keep saying that. It's it's where I am for now. I'm like semi looking for housing, but also not being too on top of it. Like a lot of people say it should be like a full-time job and you should be searching for things every day. And I'm definitely not doing that. But yeah, it's nice. It's comfortable and it's fully furnished, which is great. So yeah, I'm also kind of like on the fence of like, ooh, it's been really nice to have my own place, to have people over, but then it's nice to have roommates. So I don't know what I'm looking for. But yeah.
Have you been like meeting people?
Yes, through work and otherwise. But yeah, and then kind of like friends of friends, and then somebody will like meet you and then invite you somewhere else, and then someone else will be like, oh, this person that you went out with that night, you know, exchange numbers and whatnot, and it's kind of all butterfly effect from there. And then activities, any kinds of like meetup groups, that's been really nice. Yeah.
That's awesome. Look at you, like, thriving in another country.
Right? All settled. I feel like making friends is always, like, the most nerve-wracking thing to think about when you move to a new place.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Especially post-pandemic, I feel like I just stopped making new friends for a while, and this year I'm, like, social again. And
yeah.
It turns out I like hanging out with people other than myself.
Yeah, it's weird. I like forgot that I used to socialize so much. It was like, it's like a slow transition going into like heavy socialization. It's weird.
Yeah, it's good though. I feel like I'm gaining back a part of my 20s.
Yes, agreed.
Oh man, yeah. That all of the quarantine just happened in such a prime prime years for us.
That's what's like such a bummer. Like literally, mm-hmm. like I guess if it was college, you could kind of like, you're studying all the time anyways. And like, I don't know, the only thing you're missing out on is like getting trashed way too often. Or if you're in your 30s, it's like, I don't know, you're like having a kid or whatever. And then it's like, oh, wait, you get to like be at home with your kids and like spend more time with them. I just feel like being 20, what was it, like 23 and 24? Mm-hmm. Like the years we lost are like the best years. Ugh, such a bummer.
Yeah. We can make the next years the best years too.
True. Yeah. We get okay. No, you know what? It's all downhill. I give up.
I feel like being an elderly person was really hard too, because you're yeah. just like, dying. There was that, and then also like the loneliness.
I know.
Oh, dying during the pandemic. That is sad.
Huh. Sorry, I had to bring up that.
Jethro, were you napping?
Oh no, I'm just, so I'm at Joel's because I'm choreographing the couples dance for Rakshana's like engagement party. And I need to teach a white man. So Joel is my white man. But I figured I'd just take our call here and then do that. So he is behind the computer right now.
Ah, okay. So he's going to be like the test to see if it's too challenging for a yes. white man.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. And luckily Joel has, you know, limited rhythm. So it'll be a good test case.
Have you seen him dancing?
Actually, the night we met, I was trying to teach him salsa. And it did not go well for him.
did he go to that club in Cambridge?
It was Bell in Hand.
Oh, that's like the oldest bar in Boston, right?
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. I went there on my graduation. But.
Well, it was the upstairs floor. It's like where all the dancing is, and it's like it was actually disgusting. It was like so hot and so packed. Like this, we have like a group photo of everyone, and like everyone's shirt is just covered in sweat. It was pretty gross.
Oh, well, yeah. Hey, you guys persisted past that sweaty mess.
Yes, we did persist. That was the night that everything changed.
Oh, that's cute.
Did you all dress up for Halloween?
Yes. So we threw a Halloween party at our place on Friday. I know we missed you, Shimona.
Throwback.
You was came that last 2 years ago? No, last year. And then you also year, came right? the year before, right?
The year before. Yeah, it was a cupcake and then a deer.
Yes, I do remember those. I did like a skeleton and I just like did the face paint stuff.
Ooh, okay.
And Joel came as a sexy Amish guy, which
whoa, I need to see a picture of that.
I'll send you guys a video. It's actually hilarious. It's like a regular Amish outfit, and then he cut out the back of his pants like assless chaps and wore like bright silver like underwear.
That's hilarious.
Oh my god.
We need to see that.
It's yes. amazing. I definitely, we have videos, right, Joel? Or pictures or something? He's not responding. Yeah, I'll send him over.
And Shivani, did you dress up?
Oh, yeah, we went as, you know, The Great Gatsby? Daisy Buchanan, yeah. Jay Gatsby. So I went as Daisy Buchanan.
Oh, wait, I want to see those things. Oh my god.
Yeah.
So cute.
Fun.
Wait, yeah, wearing like Indian jewelry?
No, I should have done that. I just got some generic like Amazon stuff. Yeah.
Aw.
Oh, I love that. Wow, that's brilliant.
Oh, I love it.
Did you guys do Halloween in Germany?
Mildly. I was told that it's only become a thing in recent years because of, like, the U.S. influence, but didn't always used to be a thing. But yeah, okay, you would see, like, a few kids here and there, like, in some costumes trick-or-treating, but it was not nearly, aww, like the ritual that it would be in the U.S.
I think the concept, yeah, of, like, going up to strangers and asking for candy is very American.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think there's mostly just, like, okay, let's dress up and wear, like, antlers at work, but that's basically it.
But I think Germany also has, like, Carnival, which is in, what, like, two times? I think there's one in October. Actually, isn't there one in October?
Is there?
Maybe it's November. Yeah, it's like a Christian thing. I think I was talking about it with your friend. I forgot his name. When I came to visit. Your friend, Shimona?
Jonas.
Yes.
Jonas.
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 Yes. We were talking about it, I think. But it's like kind of like Halloween, but you don't dress up as like things. You just dress like crazy.
Yeah, with like lots of beads and colors and shiny things and
yeah.
Oh, is that going on now? Didn't even know.
I don't remember when it was. So the big festivals in Cologne.
Yes. Okay. Now I remember this conversation. Yeah.
Yeah. So you should definitely try and visit at least. I don't know when the other time they do it.
Carnival, Germany. Fastnacht. Okay. Wow. This is a lot. A lot of masks and faces and makeup. Okay.
It definitely is. It's a lot, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun, and it's like all over the city, so you can just like go out during the day and see it and like make a day trip out of it.
Nice. Okay. Looking forward to it.
But yeah, I think that's their version of Halloween kind of.
So you've been, right?
Yeah. So we went to Cologne during, is it October? Did you find the dates?
When is, November 11th and the week before Ash Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah, so we must have gone on the November one. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We just did that night, I think, like that evening / night, and we took like a Flixbus from Heidelberg. But so we went out and we're like, so one of our friends has like friends that stay there. And they're like, but they live in like a tiny ass apartment. And our plan was to like go like relatively early and leave again. But we missed our Flixbus. Oh, it was such a shit show. And then we couldn't get another one back. So we were there until I think like 10 a.m. the next day.
Gosh.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah, good times. It was fun up until I think like 4 a.m. And then we're like struggling.
I feel like you lost a lot of sleep during your time here in Germany.
Yes, I did. Definitely worth it. I think anytime I like travel, really, it's like just no sleep is the bargain.
Yeah, that's true.
Interesting night.
How's your job searching going or applying?
I was actually just talking to Shivani about that before you came on. I've been kind of reconsidering the whole trying in Europe thing because I know.
What?
Hear me out. Okay.
I'm a rational person. It's okay. Yeah. Why?
Touching. So my issue is the pay cut, which I was like, at first I was like, maybe it's just like 20K, but it's like literally half of my paycheck would disappear. And then like taxes go up, right? So I don't even, and I feel like it's worth it for the experience. So like, but like I kind of already did that. So that's why I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that long term.
Wait, okay, so it's good for the experience, but maybe you want to stay in the U.S. for, like, just, you know, you're, like, kind of in the swing of things.
Well, not even, like, I don't know if I necessarily want to stay in the U.S., but, like, I want to get a job in the U.S. So if I can get something, like, fully remote and then, like, hop around Europe for a while, like, that would be ideal. But I feel like getting a job, but then also, I don't know, the visa, I don't fucking know, man. I'm, like, kind of back at square one, I feel like, with thinking about everything.
When did these thoughts start arising?
So I actually was starting to apply to places. I talked to Paul's friend at Airbus.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, how'd that go? It went well. And Airbus sounds dope. But then it was really funny because he was like talking to me about salaries, like they were paying him like a ton of money, which like I'm also like, okay, so this is probably like the max that a company is going to pay me there then. I think he said it was like 2K a month.
No.
Maybe it wasn't.
Well, I guess maybe it was 2K by week. Is he also an engineer?
Yeah. Or like half engineering or something. I think he did half engineering, half business also. But he's doing more of like a rotational thing. But I think he kind of worded it weird. Maybe it was like 4K a month. But then also okay. I was looking at, they listed the salaries in the job descriptions and it looked like it was like 50K was like the highest that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's worth it right now. I don't know.
Is the cost of living lower?
It is, right? Like, way lower, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess it, like, evens out, sort of. I don't know. I just also feel like if I could manage to get a remote job here, it's kind of the best of both worlds, but...
Mm-hmm.
And I just got a raise at work. They're, like, really...
Oh.
It's tough, man. It's so tough.
I found it hard to find any remote jobs that did not pay you the salary of the place that you would live in. Like, even if you got a job at Spotify in the New York office, if you said, like, hey, I want to work in Thailand for 2 months, they would drop your salary to, like, a Thailand salary.
For 2 months?
Yeah, or something. Jeez. Or, like, they would say you can work remotely, but it had to be within plus one or minus one of the time zone. So then they would always say, like, oh, taxes issue. So it was always, like, the positions, at least the ones that I found, it was never really, like, you can work fully remotely on your U.S. salary anywhere in the world. Which, that would be amazing, because I feel you. Like, I think that would be truly, like, the best of everything. But yeah, it's tough. Like, taxes make everything complicated, and then time zones make everything complicated. But, yeah.
That's like literally my one hesitation right now. Yeah. And I'm also like, if I could just like, I've also been really getting into like, I don't want to work for people anymore. How do I like, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, whenever the market crashes, property, I want to get on top of that fucking property. I'm ready. Airbnb.
Do your food blog.
Yes.
That's working. Like, I want to do the least amount of effort and the most amount of money.
Yeah.
Also, just like little things, I feel like if I got into trading or something, it would be like past, or like even the money that's just sitting there is making more money. Like, I don't know. I want to invest more in things because I'm sick of working. But then if I had things like that set up, I feel like I'd feel better about like taking a pay cut for experience.
Yeah, that's the ideal, is like eventually you want your income to not be dependent on any kind of effort that you put in. Like it's just kind of coming in based off of like assets you've purchased.
Yeah,
whether it's like you invested in a company and you're getting returns from that, or housing or something like that. But
yes, so that's what I've been thinking a lot about lately. I don't know, I'm just, there's like so many loopholes in like American law that like make things legal that probably shouldn't be legal, but really help you get money pretty quickly. So that's nice. I'm sure that's why we have so much inflation, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to think about. It's like the more I live here, the more it's, I'm just noticing like, oh, this is why things are this way. And this is why you can, like all the, everything's a circle, right? Like nothing, you can't like make a lot of money somewhere without there being somewhere else that pays that, the price of that. You know, like you think about the crazy high salaries in the US, but then the broken systems that require you to need a really high salary because you might need to pay $10,000 for a Band-Aid, you know. It's like just all those. But then if like the key is, if you make a good salary in the US and you understand the system and you just take care of yourself and your mental health and your well-being, then you kind of backstab the system and the system can't touch you. You know, like that's, I feel like that's kind of a lot of what me and you and like a lot of our like people that I know, they're not necessarily being like depleted from the American consumerism culture because they're just kind of like, no, I'm opting out of this. Like, I really don't want to purchase these things. I don't want to fill my body with Coca-Cola, not cocaine. Both, I guess, but
cocaine's
like
fine.
Yeah, that's okay. But yeah, it's like they're kind of choosing to not be a part of these games, and then they're just enjoying the benefits of a wealthy American life without being like dragged down by the negatives of the US.
That's so true. It's hard to guarantee that, you know.
Yeah
I think that's why if I were to ever, like, have kids, I would want to raise them outside of America. Like,
okay, yeah, what about that? Like, you have to come to Europe eventually. Like,
I know. I'm just saying, like, right now, I'm like.
Okay.
And then I'm like, if I have kids. But, yeah, no, I just feel like I'm really, like, lost. Like, I really don't know what my next move is. But I'm, like, due for a move. Like, a power move. I don't know about a physical move. I don't know what I'm doing, honestly.
You have to marry someone rich, and then they, then it, even if your salary gets cut by like a fourth when you come to Europe, it's okay and you can safely raise your kids.
Exactly. Wow. That's the dream.
I never thought Shimona would recommend marrying rich.
Hey, it's a joke.
We're going to pull this out of context when you run for office.
No. We are opening for the podcast.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, man, now I feel gross.
Aw, buddy. That's usually the joke I make.
Yeah, it's like, I feel like this joke gets thrown at women a lot, where they're just like, why do you care so much about building your identity? Just marry someone rich and then let them, you know, take care of everything.
And if they're really old, they're going to die soon anyway, so you could just...
Exactly.
Throw that out. But in the event that they don't, that's tough.
Then you just...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I make this joke a lot, and like, like people don't realize I'm joking sometimes. I'm like, what is your worldview that you think like I would be serious about marrying someone really old who's about to die? Like,
yeah.
Then there's like all the other obligations with it. Like, I don't want to be expected to just be a housewife.
Yeah.
I want to have it all, you know.
I think if I wasn't like, if that didn't entail having kids, I could fuck with it. Like, cleaning things and, like, cooking really dope meals, and that's all I had to do in a day, I could do that. But I think I'd get bored after a certain point.
Yeah, I think you'd get go a little crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I feel like it'd be nice for a week, maybe even a month, and then I would go stir crazy.
Yeah. Like, knowing that was the rest of my life. Like, a little
vacation.
Yeah. Of being crazy rich and only having those responsibilities. I could probably do it for a year, I'm not going to lie.
Maybe. 1 year?
Just traveling on their money.
Oh, travel. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, doing things on their money.
Friends is on some arrangements, and she's met, like, a couple men off there. And she said that, like, it's pretty chill. A lot of the men, they're, like, much older, so, like, 40s and 50s, and they're just not, like, they're not married or have a family, so they get really lonely. And part of it is that they just like having, like, a young, nice-looking woman to just hang out with and, like, go out to ice cream with sometimes. Obviously, there's, like, more expected the longer you do it for, but... I mean, that doesn't sound bad. Like, she literally went out to ice cream with this man who paid her $500 just to, like, hang out with him.
Wait, what is this website called?
I'll add it to our episode description.
I do also know a few people on that website. It actually reminds me of this. I think I shared this podcast link with you all, but it was with Esther Perel.
My girl.
And yes. And she mentioned that, I think it was in Japan or somewhere, or just in general, like there was this crazy high amount of all the requests that prostitutes were getting. The number one was cuddling, like nothing else. They had no head, no hand job, nothing. They just wanted to be cuddled. The guys were just kind of like, can you just like sit there and hug me? And it was
so sad.
Like this whole like rising feeling of loneliness and people working too much and making less and less time for like having kids or having a family. And then they're kind of realizing that, oh, there's this void being slowly like deeper and deeper growing in me that is realizing I would like some kind of company, but don't have that. And then they just ask for cuddles. It's very sad.
Yeah, damn. Also just goes to show you that men have more emotions than we give them credit for.
Right. Aww. Right. Yeah, that makes me feel sad. I feel like they're often just kind of told to be like binary.
Yeah.
You're like, you're either normal or you're angry. Like that's what you get as a guy. It's
very
not okay. It's so toxic. Like,
yeah.
There needs to be the spectrum. You can cry. You can be like, don't feel like it's tearing away your masculinity.
I know. One day we'll figure it out as a society, maybe.
Yeah.
I can hope.
I think it's getting better, I like to think. I feel like guys are like much less hesitant. Or just seem to be very less, not hesitant to like tell me that, oh, I cried when seeing that film. Or like, oh, I cried a few months ago. Or I was like, you know, like really sad. Or like this movie really touched me and stuff like that. And I feel like that's already progress. So they can say that without feeling like I'm going to judge them. So.
Yeah. That's true. Because it's weird. Like, I feel like Joel's pretty sensitive, like as a person. But I've never seen him cry.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I feel like even guys
maybe
who
he has, and you don't know. And it's, like, secretly in bed.
just when we're asleep.
Whimpering.
He's just staring at me and crying.
At your beauty. It's just an awe.
Hope that's not the case. But, you know, because I feel like even now when guys are more in touch with their emotions, it's still, like, taboo to cry, or like, although I guess anyone crying in front of anyone is like weird.
Yeah, a bit like makes other people feel uncomfortable, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of like, I don't know what to do with this.
That's very true.
Especially if it's someone I just met and I'm like, whoa.
Oh my God.
That is so true. Yeah, I think everyone's been in a weird situation where someone's crying and you didn't expect it.
Yeah. Or like, college, I had this professor, he was like 80 years old and just babbled nonsense most of the time. And he did this thing in class where he would like pester you with questions if you didn't give him the answer you wanted, or if you said, I don't know. So he would ask you some vague question, because it was a literature class, would be like your thoughts on a sentence the author had written. But if you said like, you know, I'm not really sure, like I haven't thought about it, then he would just like keep on questioning you and be like, no, like, what do you think the author was trying to get at? And so there was this one girl in my class, and he did that to her, and she just like starts sobbing because it was just like too much. And so, but it was one of those moments where it's like we're in class, there's all these people who like don't know each other that well, so I feel like it made it even more uncomfortable.
What did the professor do when she started crying?
He was like almost senile. I feel bad saying this. But he like didn't get why she was upset and just kept saying like, oh, I didn't mean to make you cry, or like I wasn't trying to get you upset. Just like being so insensitive to it.
That's so cringy.
I wonder why we're so like crying just seems to be such an extreme emotion sometimes, where people are like, oh, what, like, why is that making you cry? Or like, you don't have to cry.
Yeah.
Or my dad will always be like, stop crying, like, just stop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Your dad tells that to you?
Yeah, or he'll be like, oh, like, it's not that big of a deal, like, you don't have to cry about it.
I'm just imagining like a little 4-year-old Shivani crying over like a spilled ice cream, and her dad would be like, stop, stop it.
No, literally. What it was like.
That's but also, I think, what my parents did. I feel like low key and Indian.
Yeah, maybe they just don't know how to handle crying children.
Yeah.
Because they really, really thrusted this responsibility without any kind of warning. So
that's like, so
true. Have some kids.
Yeah, and the kids are meant to like serve the parents, I feel like, in Indian culture. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you're crying, it's like you're not doing your job just to serve me.
This is an inconvenience for me. Don't do it.
Yeah.
What a lovely, lovely note.
Yeah. Getting dark, it seems like, at Jethro's place.
Well, Joel's place. It's also really cloudy here, oh. So it's been pretty abysmal weather.
Oh.
But, like, weirdly warm.
Yeah, it's going to be, like, 70 degrees here this weekend. It's crazy.
Oh.
Are you thinking in, like, Celsius now?
I am! Yeah, that actually...
I could not figure it out.
Okay, if somebody were to be like 120 Fahrenheit in Celsius, go, I can't do that. But if somebody tells me a temperature in Celsius that is like a naturally occurring regularly temperature outside, I can map it. I know generally like from 15 to 35 what clothes I should wear. So I think that itself, like, as long as I know those general ones, then I think that's, like, that's half the battle done. So, yeah.
Wow, look at you.
That's pretty impressive. I feel like no matter how long I spent there, it was not sinking in. I always had to, like, figure it out. I could understand generally what was cold and what was hot, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I worry now when I go back, I'm going to have to readjust everything, like, oh, miles.
What do you mean when, if you go back?
Yeah, if I go back. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll always have this little, like, argument in the, like, back corner of my head of, like, do you go back or do you stay? Like, what happens? Like, what's the next step? But I was talking to another guy from the U.S. in our company, and he was just like, you know what? Just if you're enjoying it here, just enjoy it. Just take it day by day. Don't even think about all of that. And if for some reason some opportunity comes along, like you want to apply for grad school and that takes you back to the U.S., then fine. But don't feel like you need to decide what's long term now.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you're going to do like further education, you should probably do it in Europe, just like price wise.
Yeah, that's true. I'm looking at a wicked good scholarship.
Yeah, true. But I also feel like the schools there are kind of better, like in terms of the quality of education. I don't know.
I am looking at like the few programs I've noted down. Like, I'm looking at a very, like, niche combination of things, and I'm realizing more and more, like, both job-wise and further education-wise and, like, weird things, the U.S. is just, like, this bubbling pot of weirdness and, like, niche fields. And there's always,
really?
Yeah, like, there's any weird thing you can think of, like, weird in a good way, there's probably a startup for it, or, like, there's something... some field of study for it. And not to say that there isn't in other places, but I think it's just a lot of the schools that are just kind of like very well established in this like combination of design and engineering is more so in the US. But there are also like, we talked to Fran and there were like the ones in, was it, I think London or Tallinn or Finland, Copenhagen. So
yeah,
we'll see.
The world is your oyster.
Yes, it's amazing. Can you just imagine, like, just one generation ago, like how preposterous our lives would be to the people one generation ago in our families? Like, if your parents were just kind of like, you know what, I just want to like move to this other country, or I just want to like date this person that's out of my culture and then like live with them before marriage, like because I feel like it, you know.
It's just
so drastic. I think about that quite often, of like, what,
like it's not based in logic or what makes the most sense. Like all our parents' decisions had to be like, this will, you know, help my family, this will help me send money back, but for us it's like we get to enjoy the romance of life.
yeah
That's true. And I came across this video of this girl who was making she does like, I think like plant-based Indian stuff. Chitra, maybe it was actually Chitra in disguise. But she brought up this point that I like totally did not consider. And I feel really sad that, because when, so happy Diwali to y'all.
Oh yeah, happy belated Diwali.
Yes. Wait, you were in India for Diwali?
No, we came back that weekend.
Why would you come back? You didn't want to snort all the pollution from the fireworks?
I know, it would have been crazy. Sick. I don't know why we didn't stay there I don't know why we played it that way. I mean, I have a side note. I'll let you finish, though, and then I'll tell the side note.
Okay. But she was making some Indian, like, jeela or something. And then she said how she was missing celebrating Diwali. And I was also kind of, like being here, I'm like, it just kind of felt like a non-event. Yeah. Like, it was just, oh, okay, it's just this day. And she was like, oh, and I realized that, this is how my parents have felt for, like, over 25 years, like, constantly. They had to, like when they moved to the US, this was something that they had to cultivate, of like this community, this environment of like people that understand these traditions that they grew up with. And that's why it's so meaningful to them to be around people that understand what it means when they like want to bring out fireworks on this special day, or they want to like give sweets. And like, that's what's home for them, because for them, it was just kind of like they were here in a place that like no one really understood them. Maybe they couldn't even speak English properly and they felt like excluded. And just thinking about it like that, I was like, wow, it's kind of a glimpse of what I was feeling times like, I'm sure like 25, of what my mom and dad are feeling when they first came to the US. It's just like, everything's so like you know, the lack of color, the lack of celebration, vibrance, all of that. And it's just, oh gosh, okay, I'm getting a voice call. Okay, Chitra, tell your story and then maybe we can wrap up.
Yeah, all good. Okay, I'll make it quick. My parents got robbed on the Diwali. I totally forgot to mention that. They're fine. They were going to my sister's place. So they like broke in literally 20 minutes after they left. And they took my mom's passport, my dad's passport, and all of our OCI cards.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wait, in India?
No, in the US. Like our Trumbull house.
Someone broke in your Trumbull house?
On Diwali?
So apparently that's like a common thing because like the Indians bring all their gold out, I guess.
Oh my
like
gosh.
Brown leprechauns. I don't know what where this happened.
Leave it to Chitra and just somehow make a joke. I haven't heard that term
before. I'm so glad I have.
At the light in the mood.
Wait, so what happened? Like, did you call the police? Do you have them back?
That's all gone forever. They called the police. Apparently there was like a serial robbings, like in the Fairfield County area.
So terrifying. So no one was in the house, right? It was
no.
They must have been like watching.
Yeah, waiting for them to leave. So they like smashed through the patio door. And Comet was there. And they like locked Comet in the pen though, which is like good, but like weird that they cared about the bunny.
Yeah.
What do you mean they locked him in? Like he was just free roaming?
Yeah, because usually he just has like free range of the house. But they like he has like the pen and like the last.
Shivani, stop laughing.
Robes all over you. Yeah. Dropping bell.
No. He's litter box trained. He's like a cat.
I'm sorry.
They locked him in the cage and then rummage through your things? Like they knew where this stuff was?
That's why they think it was like someone we know. But like, you know, someone who could have just been like let in the house like for a little like thing.
Oh my God, this is so scary.
That's so unsettling, man.
Yeah, it's really bad. And then
I never expect that in your neighborhood.
Seriously. It was like the last place I feel, and we live like at the top of the street, so I feel like it's like a weird house to hit. But they went through like my mom's jewelry. My mom like puts all of like the actual gold somewhere else that I won't put on a podcast. She had like some fake gold like out and about that she like would wear to events and stuff, but they like didn't take it. They like somehow knew it was fake, I guess. Like, I don't know how.
That's wild. It sounds like someone who like knew the Indian thing, like knew about Diwali.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like they knew your parents would be gone for a bit. It's just so like the worst feeling is knowing someone was just in your space and like among all your personal things. Like even your closest friends don't go through your like passport drawers.
Well, so the passports were out on the table because we just got back from India. So they just
The fact that they took that must have meant something, right? Like maybe they're trying to.
I think it was like the alarm was going off the whole time. So I think they just grabbed the bags that were on the table. Because one of the bags had nothing in it. It was like another bag was in that bag and they grabbed it.
Oh, so there was an alarm and then the police came? And then your parents got called?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh, that's so scary.
Yeah. But they don't have cameras. Now they have cameras, but they didn't at the time.
Oh, yeah. God, they could have Oh, that's unfortunate. Oh my God, I'd be so scared to even like sleep. Like Shivani, that you were scared to sleep for a few days too, right? After that happened.
Yeah, I had to like take something to make myself sleep.
Oh gosh. A lot of dark notes in this episode.
Yeah, I meant to say that earlier, but I forgot.
Well, on that note.
On that uplifting note.
Thank you all for coming on this really negative journey with us. Hopefully we didn't make everyone too sad. But focus on the positive things. Think about
you guys DNA. Didn't get robbed.
Yeah, DNA falling in the Taj Mahal. And
yes.
Brown leprechauns.
All the jokes.
The things. Yes.
All the good times.
Thankful you have your passport. Sorry.
Yes.
I have my passport, so thank God I didn't leave it in their bag. But yes, check your passports. Make sure you got them.
Yeah.
All 20 of you that are listening.
All righty.
Okay. Good night. Good day.
Good night.
Guten Abend.
Guten Abend. Guten Abend.